The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at TNTRadio.live. This is War of the Worlds on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I'm George Eliason, and this is the radio broadcast from TNT, breaking the news, the War of the Worlds. In front of the microphone, you won't be hearing armchair generals and think tankers paid to run propaganda for NATO and the Biden administration. Our microphone is fitted with a special filter to keep the propaganda and false expertise out. This is not the hour for repeating what you've already heard and rehashing what you already know. This isn't a crosstalk of reporters pushing bylines in exchange for your money. This isn't the BBC's hard talk with its soft-scented confectionery manufactured at the Foreign Office and MI6. They are the alien invaders. This is the hour when you'll be able to hear the news breaking from the news fronts throughout Europe and from your ears to your brains. Not the alien invaders, but fresh, original human analysis of what the breaking news means. So sit tight, and here goes. I want to start with, rehashing the last show a little bit. We had Professor Valentina Zarkova on, and it ended up being a little bit lively. Professor Zarkova is one of the brightest people in the world in her field, and in terms of the subject matter, instead of discussing her field, which is sunspots, space weather, and how the world is going to be cooling over the next 30 years instead of heating up with global warming, she got a little bit passionate about her feelings on the Ukrainian Russian war without actually trying to understand it, other than headlines, which is too bad. What I wanted to make clear is that this woman is very bright and very charismatic, and she's worth listening to when she's talking about her science. I mean, one of the world's best at it. Now, let's jump from there and get into Donald Trump's woes. Now, we've talked about the Colorado case, the 14th Amendment case, and a judge has denied the motion to dismiss. Now, if you don't remember, the suit cites the 14th Amendment clause banning those who participate or assist in an insurrection from taking office. And they're making this legal argument based on Trump's actions before and on January 6th, and when they claim that thousands of his supporters were creating an act of sedition at the Capitol. Now, this is a very, very big suit. It's kind of quiet in the background, but really pay attention to this. Because this suit is already starting to cascade into other states that want to keep Donald Trump off the ballot. Now, during January 6th, Trump actually offered to call the National Guard in. He told the protesters to keep things peaceful. And this is all public knowledge. So for Democrats to do this, and this is what it amounts to, by the way, this isn't a political action. They're trying to control, once again, who can run for the office of president and who cannot. And whether or not you like Trump, hate Trump, Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever, it doesn't matter. Because once they set the precedent, your candidate's next. during the 2016 run, the Democrats made it very, very clear when Bernie Sanders was trouncing Hillary Clinton in the primaries that it's not your party, it's our corporation. And we decide who the nominee is going to be, not you. And if you remember right, that's where we first heard about superdelegates. It had never been a thing before. And Hillary Clinton, within I think it was the third week of the primary, garnered over 100 of these superdelegates. In essence, she already had the nomination in hand, even though Bernie Sanders was trouncing her in the field. The Democrats are taking this to a level that, I mean, think about this insanity. This is a mockery of every everything, every myth of what the United States is or has been or was. They don't want to govern, they want to rule. And this is something that particular point is going to be decided in this election going forward. And so we'll see. If the Democrats win, they're going to cement this. And this will be the new norm for America, which makes things really, really crazy. Now, Trump is suing over efforts in Michigan to keep him off the ballot based on the Colorado trial. 14th Amendment again. And as I said, this, you know, this one action is bleeding out across Democratic states. So this is going to be an incredible fight for him. And quite frankly, it's going to be really interesting to see how it pans out. Really interesting. How many states are going to, you know, can this happen in? If they have Colorado, Michigan, possibly a state like Massachusetts, California, the possibilities are endless. The thing about Colorado, though, is that it is considered a swing state in the upcoming election. So we'll see. If he's banned from running there, it's an automatic win. If he gets a Republican nomination, he can't run there. It's an automatic win for the Democrats, and the voters have no say at all. Really think about that. Now, if you look down at Georgia, this is getting really, really interesting. Now, we have the RICO cases going on. And with the RICO, which is racketeering trials against Donald Trump, against his attorneys, for trying to overthrow the election, this is getting crazy. And quite frankly, the prosecutors have really wound this into a really tight ball. The thing about RICO is, and it actually makes it dangerous, is that you really don't need evidence to get a RICO conviction. What you need to do is build a narrative. And if you can build a good enough story to get it by a jury, somebody, your life could be changed forever based on a good storyteller, based on somebody that can really weave a web. And so when Kenneth Chesbrough and Sidney Powell plead, accepted a plea deal for that, it dropped, it's like dropping a nuke on the entire trial itself. Jenna Ellis saw it, and with the RICO, if you're not taking a plea deal, you're going to jail. And because it's very, very difficult to defend against. It doesn't matter what the facts are. So Ellis's attorney said it was Powell and Chesbro falling as they did, one right after the other. It looked like the timing was of the essence for us. That's what her lawyer, Frank Hoag, said. And then she became a third former Trump campaign attorney to enter a plea agreement. Now, because these two did, anybody not entering a plea agreement, like I said, is going to be subject to a long prison term based on a narrative that's going to be woven in the courtroom. It doesn't have anything to do with reality, or very little to do with reality. And quite frankly, that's the shame of it. For something this important, like everything else surrounding trying to prosecute or persecute Donald Trump, we don't need evidence. We don't need facts. We just need a good story. So we're getting the same playbook from all the way through the Trump-Russia saga, the Russiagate saga, what happened to Manafort, what happened to Giuliani, what happened to George Papadopoulos, Simona Mangiante, and they keep using it over and over and over. And until the teeth behind this is forbidden by law, it's going to keep going. Now, they don't have an interest in doing this year, election cycle after election cycle. And as I said, this is going to decide quite a lot for all of us. Now, what happened in Georgia, there, you know, with them saying that they tried to overturn the 2020 election. Now, it actually started before the Georgia runoff. You know, all of these things did. And, you know, I'm going to give you a little bit of insight from the inside on this. I was called by the people that were supposedly investigating this, and they wanted me to investigate and write articles about it, which is good, fine. You know, you want to kick in and get real information out there. You know, I think we can agree on that. But I noticed right away is that, and if you think back to the headline news from late November, 2020, all the way through February 2021, where you had the Georgia runoff, you had everything. All these big headlines. We had the Kraken. We had China was involved. We had the big hack with Dominion. We had what? We had Korean hackers, Serbian hackers, Italian hackers, Chinese hackers. We had Democratic Party hackers. Everybody was throwing up all these clouds in the air, all this dust. And what it boiled down to is all they were trying to do was get headlines. And a year later, they actually, one of them admitted it. And this is the guy that's funding these investigations. They didn't, you know, really have anything. They didn't care. And what they were doing was blocking real investigations that were going on, because all these fake investigations were getting all the news. And this is the information that was being brought to Donald Trump. It was being brought to his attorneys directly. It was being brought to Sidney Powell. It was being brought to all of them. And it was handed off to them as, this is certified. This is real thing. We can back all this up. Now, in Georgia, there were a lot of issues. But those issues, because of the amount of interference that these people did, no one will ever look at it. And that's a reality. It was the same thing in Pennsylvania. It was the same thing all over the place. So what they were doing was gaming Trump's people, setting up cases like this Georgia case, because they weren't actually trying to help anything. On the contrary, it was about making some money, getting some fame, and getting their names woven into the political landscape. We tried to help when it was the exact opposite they were doing. Now, we're going to take a quick break, and why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all the major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Rick Munn.
There is zero work. Occupied West Bank in Palestine is paralyzed as the economy stalls. So an Israel-ordered shutdown and settler attacks in occupied West Bank have took a devastating toll on the Palestinian economy. The central bus stop in downtown Ramallah in occupied West Bank is usually bustling with people and traffic, but since October the 7th, which is three long weeks now, the buses have been parked up and the drivers are sitting idle watching the news, smoking cigarettes. There is zero work, and people in the northern part of Gaza have been told to get out, up you go and leave, head towards the south. That's all fine and well saying that. These people live there, these people have houses there, these people have businesses there, that's where they get their money from. And let's be honest, there isn't any welfare system in Palestine. It's not like you can get down to your local dole office and sign on and you'll get a cost of living payment or you'll get free accommodation. No, it's like pack your bags and get out. So terrible, terrible financial hardships being suffered.
He's locked and loaded. Rick Munn on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Did you know 50% of homelessness is caused by an economic crisis? Debunking common stereotypes that homelessness is overwhelmingly caused by substance use, which actually counts for less than 10% of homelessness. Healthcare amongst the homeless is one of the first things that gets overlooked. At Healthcare for the Homeless, our mission is to promote health, hope, and dignity for those affected by homelessness through accessible and comprehensive quality care. We aim to improve health and help individuals move beyond homelessness. We take a holistic approach by providing many integrated services, including medical care, mental health services, addiction counseling, case management, and dental care. Generosity such as yours makes this work possible. Every dollar makes a difference. Every donation touches a life. To find out more, visit homeless-healthcare.org. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
When a crisis hits, close to home and across the globe, nonprofits are on the front lines, ready to serve.
Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming.
The demand for charitable services has skyrocketed, and nonprofits are rising to meet the needs. Healing, nurturing, rescuing, honoring, protecting, caring, inspiring. The work of philanthropic organizations of all sizes, across all missions, has never been more important. And it's donors and volunteers like you who make all this possible. Thank you. Together, we change the world. The Nonprofit Alliance.
This is what's called dead air. It's an uncomfortable gap of no sound on your radio. Radio stations hate it. It's so uncomfortable, people usually switch stations. So if dead air makes you feel uncomfortable, imagine what dead oceans feel like. Our oceans need whales. And our whales in the Southern Ocean need your help. donate to Sea Shepherd, and help stop Japanese whaling in our Southern Ocean. Visit seashepherd.org.au.
You're listening to War of the Worlds with George Eliason on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're back. Now, we're talking about a really, really, it's a sore subject. At least it is for me. Because, like I said, I was on the inside of this until I saw what was going on. Now, I didn't know that they were trying to hurt the Trump Organization or any of these other people. I just knew that what they were doing wasn't going anywhere. It could never go anywhere. And I kept telling them why. You can't throw up assertions without backing it up with fact. And you're sending me off on all these wild goose chases to find this information. And I'm telling you before I start, more than likely with what you want, there's not going to be anything there. It's not the way the world works in real time. It just doesn't happen. So the first one, and I think you remember the headlines, the absolute first one, was tie Hunter Biden to Dominion in China. And it was crazy. And I said, it's just not going to happen. It doesn't work that way. He didn't. Is he doing business in China? Yes. So what I was able to do, and I think you'll find this kind of interesting, is there official Chinese government involvement in U.S. elections? The answer is yes. They actually certified that they didn't do anything. The company that they own. And the company they own runs the election machines, owns the election machines in 38 counties across America, and provides the actual voting hardware for companies like Dominion and ES&S. So are they involved? Yeah. But the facts that I was providing, which actually, if you go from the voting machine provider, hit a button, and you get asked to donate to the Chinese Communist Party on an official party site, the reality wasn't enough because it wasn't juicy. The fact that it's a shame that a foreign government is involved in our elections and can certify that they're not doing anything wrong on their own. And that's an official certification, by the way. It is, immoral. Really think about that. But what these people wanted from me and other people that they were having investigate, I was to find ways to back up whatever fantasy it was that they were having at the time. Now, how close are they to the actual lawyers? At different points, they were walking in and out of the room with Sidney Powell. Some of them were camped with Sidney Powell. And they were trying to get and maintain access with Rudy Giuliani. Thankfully, the two separated, but they still had some amount of access. So they're trying to certify what they knew was bad information just to keep their names going in circles for their own gain. The result of this, once again, we have this election playing out, this trial playing out, rather. And we have people that may go to jail that weren't doing anything wrong, but they're the ones that are being charged with interfering in the election and trying to overthrow it. If they were interested in the facts, the results could have been thrown out simply because There was no method used counting them. Nobody was on the same page. Nobody was counting a good ballot or a bad ballot the same way. The recount software was being updated uncountable times while that the election recounts were going on, which is against election law. Everything's supposed to be certified and used as it's certified. But because of all the headlines that these people were generating, because of everything that they were doing, those real facts, that real evidence, will never see the light of day in a courtroom. Because honestly, they generated so much fatigue over all this, which is another part of what they were doing. Nobody wants to hear these stories anymore. You can hear a collective groan when you bring it up. But the things that happened, happened. And the idea that you can vote and the results can be turned over are as appealing as we're going to disallow the candidate you're going to vote for from even coming in the state. So what they found was that there's so many new and interesting ways to do this, to overturn elections legally. You don't even have to break the law anymore because they grayed out the areas that they work in. And that's just a simple fact. Now, go down a little further, and this one is... it's honestly, this is happening. Now, New York's Attorney General, Letitia James, sued President Trump, former President Trump, using the state law that grants her wider powers. And she's suing him for, according to her, lying to lenders and insurers about the value of his properties in order to secure more favorable terms. What allows her to do that is New York has a law in the books that says you could be charged with fraud even if there's no victim. You can be charged with fraud if there's no victim. Okay, so think about that. Now, fraud is a kind of serious crime, all right? Now, let's put it into another context. You could be charged with murder even though there's no victim, there's no body, there's no weapon, there's no anything. You could be charged with armed robbery even though there's nothing missing from the bank. You could be charged with extortion even though that was a charity that you give money to and it was a donation, you gave money to the charity. Which is, you know, it's a little different than what Donald Trump did, obviously, but not just the logic of this. It's not funny. It's actually crazy. A state wields that kind of power. You jaywalked, so you could have hit that car, so we're charging you with, you know, leaving the scene of an accident. It sounds really, really crazy, but this is the reality we live in 2023. Now, what's the reality for Donald Trump? Being $250 million lighter. That's the reality for Donald Trump in this case because of those laws. Right now, they're in a phase that they're deciding how much money he's going to have to pay, and it's a lawyer that hates Donald Trump, somebody that wants to get him off the campaign trail. So that was started with a purpose. This woman ran for her office of attorney general, saying, you know, explicitly she was going after Donald Trump. That's how she got elected. And it seems she did it. Based on what? And that's really, I have a problem with that. Now, here's the fun part. They got Michael Cohen to come in. Now, excuse me. Michael Cohen can be considered Donald Trump's consigliere. You know, the guy that does things. You know, if Trump was a boss, Cohen would have been his guy that gets things done for him. Okay. Well, when Cohen went in front of Congress, Cohen told Congress, he was asked about Donald Trump ordering him to change the value of the properties. And, you know, on the documents for the bank and the insurers. And Cohen said, no, he didn't do that. He never did that. Which takes away any liability for Donald Trump. Cohen gets to court and he said, yes, he did. Then he was reminded of his testimony before Congress, requested a break and said, came back and said, no, he didn't, because it would have put him, in line for a perjury charge with Congress. So he's saying in court, no, I lied. Donald Trump never told me to do this. And what they're saying in the court is, and this is the whole thing. Donald Trump could have raised an eyebrow or smiled or winked or licked his lips or done something, which gave Michael Cohen the signal to lie about the value of the properties, even though he was never told to do it. Because Donald Trump didn't do it, he did it. So this is getting to be very, very serious stuff. Now, when you have testimony like that, we were talking about the RICO stuff. On a RICO trial, that's the extent of the evidence you need. He winked, so I knew I had to kill her and bury the body. While he's sitting there, well, no, I actually, you know, got a piece of dust in my eye. Wasn't doing anything. This is how crazy the legal system is right now. This is just how freaking nuts it is. Now, where will this end? Well, we have a lot more coming up on the Georgia trials, and that's going to get pretty outrageous. With Sidney Powell just jumping at the chance to get, you know, to turn state's evidence right away after, you know, doing what she did. You know, honestly, this is going to get very, very interesting very, very quickly. So stay tuned for that. So we have Michael Cohen doing this. And even though Cohen is doing this, Trump's still going to pay $250 million. This is just how crazy, how psychotic the world is today. Now we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into Russia-Ukraine a little bit. I'll see you in a few minutes.
TNT Radio's Steve Hook.
Adam is driving what they call the doxing truck all around Harvard, and he's been doing this for a couple of weeks, and it's basically a truck, LED lighting all the way around it. It's like a big box truck, and he flashes the names of students who have signed a letter that is, if you read the letter, it's obviously pro-Hamas, and obviously Adam has taken issue with that, and he's saying, you know what, if you want to put your name on a letter, don't think you're going to be doing it, behind the scenes, we're going to let everybody know who you are. And you should, if you proudly sign that letter, you shouldn't mind this at all. Well, as you can imagine, a lot of people have minded it. And even a few of those people that signed the letter originally have now rescinded their signature and said, I don't want any part of this. And part of that is because Fortune 500 companies and other big tech companies are taking notes on all of these names, and they're just not going to hire them. And a couple of them have come out and said, good luck, you're not working for us.
Steve Hook on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes, their age, the way they speak? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a single father of two who works three
part-time jobs and still can't put enough food on the table?
Or maybe a mother who cleans offices at night,
hoping to find meeting leftovers to take home to her hungry family?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Did you know plastic pollution in the world's oceans is one of the biggest environmental issues of our time, impacting nearly 700 marine species? Not only does it impact sea life, it also carries toxic pollutants into the food chain. Every year, millions of tons of plastic enter the oceans, primarily from rivers. And the plastic that's afloat within the oceans isn't going away by itself. The Ocean Cleanup, a nonprofit organization, is developing and scaling technologies to rid the world's oceans of plastic. Our aim is to have removed 90% of floating ocean plastic pollution by 2040. We plan to do this by cleaning up the legacy plastic, the plastic already floating in the ocean, and by stopping the sources of plastic flowing into our oceans. With the support of individuals, corporations, and governments all over the world, we will work towards a future where plastic no longer pollutes our oceans. Your contribution can make a great impact on cleaning our rivers and oceans. Visit theoceancleanup.com and join the cleanup today. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
How often should you wash your hands?
Maybe around 9 times a day.
4? Like 20?
Maybe twice a day.
Whenever they feel dirty.
When should you wash your hands?
After you touch some raw meat.
And before starting to eat.
At the beginning, I wash my hands before preparing food.
How would you rate your knowledge of food safety?
Probably like an 8 out of 10.
6 or 7.
7.5. Like, I know the basics, but I'm not necessarily like an expert in it by any means.
Food safety, it's in your hands.
This is War of the Worlds on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And welcome back. Now let's talk about what's going on in Ukraine right now. And we are at the tail end of this really amazing, counteroffensive, that we heard so much about for 8 months before it started. And then we waited, and the Ukrainians are saying they're at the end of it now. So, okay. Now, we're having no real changes in the battle. Things are progressing very, very horribly for the Ukrainians. Around Avdiivka, the assaults are just horrendous. Ukrainian officials are saying Russia's throwing huge numbers of poorly supported troops into a new meat grinder. Well, the simple fact is, and it's unfortunate, I mean, the level of this lie, Ukraine is losing so many people over there, so many soldiers. It's just crazy. And I talked about this, a while back, that the battles are so fierce and Ukrainians are using human waves that it's giving some of the soldiers from the Republics and the Russians, mental health issues because the bodies are piling up so high on the Ukrainian side, and they just keep sending them. And these people don't have any recourse. It's either come or they get shot by the nationalists standing behind them. They literally, you're drafted. 2 days later, you're on the front line. Here's some bullets. Have at it, buddy. Go get them, Sergei. And it is just a horror show. And honestly, you know, there is no winner in this. There really is not. There can't be. Because these people, for all intents and purposes, are people that they're soldiers that soldiers on the other side knew. Because Ukraine makes a point of grabbing the people that left as evacuees, grabbing the men all the way down to, you know, 15 years old, up to 70, grabbing them, saying, okay, you're drafted now. Now you need to go back and defend your homes. You just left because we couldn't defend your homes. Here's five bullets. Have at it. This is how this war has spiraled. And it keeps coming back to this. And it's just large-scale killing, large-scale attrition. And it's the Ukrainians that are being attrited. It's like 1 to 10, one Russian for every 10 or 12 Ukrainians. And it doesn't need to be this way. It didn't need to be this way. It shouldn't have ever been this way. Now, we're heading into the mud season in Ukraine and Russia. And what that means is any of the little gains Ukraine has made, I think they're bragging that they took over another village with two goats and a cow. There was no one there defending it. And another village that had a one of those little, you know, motorcycles with a sidecar, one of those things in it. They took over that. It was actually a family farmstead that had a village name on it. And they're saying it's a great victory. This is the counteroffensive, man. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, what is it at this point that they can't claim as a victory? Yeah, we wanted to kill all our people. That's faking the Russians out. Now, the Ukrainians right now, according to RFERL, are trying to avoid being encircled. And this is a very large coordinated effort from Russia. I've been hearing about this for weeks. And they are going to take that area. A lot of Ukrainian troops, where they can, are still surrendering, which is a good thing. It is a good thing. Ukraine right now has no chance of winning. And as a matter of fact, every newspaper is starting to run titles saying, well, Ukraine really can't win. Now, what they did to get headlines, because Gaza is taking up the headlines these days, is a Hail Mary attempt crossing the Dnieper River. And they began sending small military units across the river, and its delta. The commando staged small attacks on a place called the Kinburn Spit, which is at the mouth of the Dnieper River down by Crimea. And they're half-heartedly trying to seize a access point to get to Crimea, and it's not possible. They can't do it. And the spit itself is like a prong going off the land. So let's say they landed on the end of it. They're on a peninsula, basically. So then they've got to, what, fight their way down the peninsula? I mean, honestly, it would have been better off trying to find someplace closer to, you know, a larger block of land to land on. Maybe. What do you think? So as far as Ukraine goes, expect a lot of casualties going into the winter. In the winter months, when this freezes over, and let's not repeat last year when people were saying November freeze, December freeze, January freeze. The freeze is in February. That's when the actual freeze is. From here to there, it's mud season. You get a little frost, you get a thaw, you get a frost, you get snow, you get a thaw. And it's just really, really, really deep mud. And these tanks are not made to run on this, especially the Western tanks. They're just not made to. And since the Ukrainians aren't as familiar as they, you know, you'd like them to be with them, they tend to get them stuck really easily. But the good news is the Dutch F-16s are going to arrive at a Romanian training center in the next couple of weeks. And the Dutch PM says they'll get them there. So they're going to train Ukrainian pilots in Romania on F-16. Now, at what point do these pilots and those F-16s become targets? At what point? The second that they fly into a border area between, let's say, Romania and Ukraine, if they're trackable, they're killable. If they're killable, just do it and get it done. Because we're talking about a limited number. I mean, what are they going to send? You know, 5, 8? Will they make a big difference? Well, this was covered over a year ago. Experts that have looked at the SU series that the Ukrainians fly, the differences between that and F-16 are too much to overcome for a trained pilot. Because, you know, it's, you know, flying with, you know, we'll say you're used to the functions on two joysticks, and you've only got one now, one center stick, or, you know, one stick. The controls are entirely different. And since you trained for years and years and years on one, a couple of weeks or a month or 2 months in the other isn't going to make a lick of difference in battle, because you're going to, your mind is going to go right back to what you already knew. And you're going to be looking for things that just are not there. They're not where they're supposed to be. And which cuts down your flight time dramatically. That's what's, you know, that's how much change that these F-16s are going to bring. It's absolutely nothing. Now, these ATACMS strategic missiles, that's another story altogether. And they're starting to, expecting them to start landing a lot in the city streets. Now, Donetsk is getting hit, and you've got civilian casualties. I think there were 4 the other day, and there might have been 2 children. I'd have to check. Now, this is an ongoing thing, and when you give Ukraine any type of missile or rocket, they tend to use it on the civilians instead of where they're supposed to be firing it, which is military targets. So when we look at this in light of, you know, what we're going to talk about next, which is Gaza, really keep that in mind. And really keep in mind the outpouring of outrage over what's going on in Israel and Gaza compared compared to a war that's been going on for 9 years. Really think about that. So let's discuss Gaza, the Palestinians, what's going on there, and what the actual differences are. What we need to do is try to keep emotions out of it to a large degree. Now, what we're hearing in the news, though, from people like Megyn Kelly, who means well, and a lot of these people, is that the demonstrations in the U.S. are anti-Semitic. There's a lot of anti-Semitic protests going on. Well, what does that mean, and how is that relevant to anything? What you don't know is that the Palestinians are also Semitic. So that kind of negates that. And if you're talking about the Arabs, every Arab is also Semitic. So an Arab cannot be an anti-Semite. It's just, that's how it actually works. What's not known in history is that Saudi Arabia used to be a Jewish kingdom. Yemen used to be a Jewish kingdom. And the Palestinians, though we call the Palestinians, have always been there. So Israel cannot claim, okay, you know, this 2,000 or 4,000 year history without them. For the most part, they were people that were dispossessed of Jewish citizenship between the 200 and 400 AD. They were kicked out of the community. Well, who was kicked out of the community? At first, it was the Christians, the Jewish Christians. Then the Muslims came along, and they came out of the Jewish Christian community, believe it or not. When you go to the history of Islam, Muhammad's, one of the first things he did was start attacking the large Jewish colonies in Arabia that were still there. Okay, they weren't as organized. So anti-Semitism, this is all in one family. If you look at Syria, Syria is Semitic. In the time of, well, after David, you had Israel and Judea. And then Israel, the people in Israel were deported. Well, there's Semitic people in Syria. There's Semitic people all across and into Eastern Europe for a very, very long time. Now, what they've done to Gaza is they've taken one Semitic people, have taken another Semitic people, they've created the largest open-air prison in history. So you're looking at 2.5 million people in essentially an open-air prison. Now, Gaza has no reason for being. It has no economy, has no means to support itself, and, well, you know, it's roughly 100% dependent on outside support that Israel controls. Now, we've only got a few minutes, but let's talk about what Israel's done. If we look at striking the refugee camps, if we look at killing the children, all right, 3,500 children dead, 6,800 children wounded, and that's 25 days. Is this acceptable? Can we say that this is moral, that this is reciprocating an action? And we cannot. That group in Hamas, they're not even sure who it is yet. It could be a splinter group from inside Hamas that wanted to start something. The whole thing, for all intents and purposes, could be staged. There's actually a paper that came out saying that there's a plan to deport all 2.5 million people to the U.S., Europe, Egypt, wherever would take them and get them out of there. It's not something that you come up with in a day. And really think about that. So if that proves to be real, we have to start looking at the origin a little bit differently. Because what actually happened and who actually did it? It really would not take much to make doing something like this very attractive to terrorist-minded small groups of people who know what the response is going to be. And they played into all of this. Whole situation needs a chance to calm down, and a real solution needs to be found. I'm George Elias, and this is TNT Talk Radio. War of the Worlds. Thanks for tuning in today.